Well, happy high Sabbath, brethren. This is here from WA, Western Australia. Glad you could join us, and I'm very privileged. This is the 9th online foot washing and communion we've had together on, well, it's probably almost Sabbath for most of you. It's definitely Sabbath here, Sabbath morning, 9 a.m. to be exact, in the morning. Glad you could be with us and looking forward to the future, because our future is bright with hope when Jesus is there, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, as more are coming in, glad that more are coming, let's share a song. It's a scripture song. I've decided to choose a scripture song today for opening our foot washing and communion, and I haven't done this in a while. I'm almost forgetting how to do it, unless things have changed. Okay, we worked it out, just made it bigger, the screen. Fantastic. So it's called Ye Call Me Master Lord, and it's from John chapter 13, verses 13 to 16. Perhaps you all know it, and I'll take the first verse, and if anyone wants to take the second and another the third, please feel free. I think this is rather applicable to what we're about to be getting involved in, and some information we'll be looking at before it. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well. Ye call me Master Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus said, for so I am. Just got to do an audio check. Am I talking over someone? Last time we met, I found out the hard way. Been singing over others. Let me just see the chat. No, you are good this time. Thank you, bro. That's so good to read. Praise the Lord. All right. So before we start looking at some quotations, and welcome all coming in. Glad you could join us. Sabbath blessings indeed. Hi, Sabbath blessings. And if I could say it in Spanish, I would do that as well. Someone else might do it for us. Before we do that, would someone like to offer a word of prayer, sentence of prayer, or paragraph of prayer on our behalf? Please feel free to do so.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for thy merciful kindness, tender love, watchful care and guidance. Thank you that you're in control of all things. And thank you also for bringing us safely through another week to another Sabbath fellowship. And this is a high Sabbath fellowship. We pray in a special way that your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, as well as heavenly angels, will be in our midst and around each listening heart. We pray that the atmosphere of heaven of light, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness will be down to each one, and may we partake largely of this atmosphere. We pray, dear Spirit, that you will work upon our hearts, uplifting Jesus ever higher and crucifying self ever more fully. And help us to understand the words that we will be hearing, the truths that will be spoken, that we may gain the greatest benefit from these truths. Also pray, dear Spirit, that you'll be with our brother as he leads out. Let the internet run smoothly. Let there be no lag. Let there be no problems. Shut Satan out of our midst, along with all of his evil angels. Let them find no room or place among us. We desire to have our Savior uplifted and glorified without any distractions tonight. Thank you so much for doing so. And thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dearest bro. Very encouraging. And welcome those who are coming into the room. Happy High Sabbath. So let's start our reading of the document, which I cannot find. Having a bit of difficulty here, I'll be. So welcome to Foot Washing and Communion. Glad you could join us. I was sharing with a pastor who caught me putting literature on his car. He said, "We're having communion." I said, "Oh, do you have foot washing?" He said, "We have worshiping." He said, "No." I said, "Do you have foot washing before it? You know, the ordinance of humility." "Oh, no." "You don't know what you're missing out on." Let's look at the first quotation. Foot washing. Can you all see that okay? Can you see that all right, Liz? Is that clear? Might have to make it a bit smaller. Yeah, okay. Foot washing was to do more than clean the disciples' feet, soiled by the dusty and muddy roads, since after washing them, and referring to Judas, Jesus could say that they were clean, but not all of them. Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean." John 13, verses 10 and 11. So we see here, more to do than just washing soiled, dusty, muddied feet. There's a spiritual application. If we look at quote number two, a higher cleansing, a cleansing of the heart, was part of Christ's intention when he instituted this ordinance, which we call the ordinance of humility as an example. Its institutional or lasting character is clearly stated in Christ's instruction. "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you," further emphasized by his remark, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." John chapter 13, verses 15 and 17. So who likes to be happy? Are you one of those people? Do you like to be happy? Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." There's an action. We look at quote number three. "The communion service is incomplete without the foot washing practice. Just as Jesus gave a more profound meaning to the Jewish Passover service through the Lord's Supper, Christ invested foot washing, which is something that was not new for them to do. It was a hospitality service, right? Usually servants did it. But Christ invests foot washing just like the Passover service through the Lord's Supper, the Old Testament hospitality rite, with deeper significance, and made it a necessary and essential part of the Lord's Supper. They're not detachable. It's not once a year event separate from communion. They go together. Not only did his example impress on the minds of those present his life of meekness and service, here's the Lord serving his servants, but the Lord also used the events to prepare the self-centered, proud, misguided disciples to take part in the Lord's Supper. We look at quote number four. "One lesson of the foot washing ordinance is that the mark of Christian greatness is service. The other is, like the disciples whose sandaled feet became dusty and needed washing again, so Christians that are baptized in Christ and cleansed by his blood, as they walk the Christian life, stumble and need Christ's cleansing grace to wash away any defilement. They need not be re-baptized. He who has bathed, to put it in a different way, he who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet." John 13:10. The ordinance of foot washing is a much needed confession of our self-centeredness and our need of Christ's grace, as well as a renewal of our commitment to the Godhead plan of salvation, baptismal vows. The instruction to observe and do it for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. John 13 verses 15 and 17 is as clear as the command regarding the Lord's Supper itself. This do in remembrance of me, Luke 22:19. So both are clearly stated something that is a blessing in by the Lord himself. And you probably know most people get the Luke 22:19, but the foot washing is something they're missing out on. Let us not be a part of that, but share the joy of it. And now we go to the event that happened that fateful night on our behalf. And this is quoting from John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. John chapter 13 verses 1 to 17. Powerful scripture. So what we'll do is we will go for foot washing now, and I think Brother Bob is going to, well, we talked about it earlier, he's going to put some music on to listen to while we're having it. We'll give about 15 minutes and then we'll check everyone's complete. But before we do it, we'll have a word of prayer as well. If you'll join me. Kind Father, loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of getting to partake of another foot washing and communion for our salvation in Jesus, for showing us light, and that we with willing hearts would have any darkness removed by the same light. that's shining forth from the heavenly sanctuary where you and Jesus are. We plead that your Holy Spirit will continue with us, be about us, and be in us to cleanse us from all defilement. And in this ordinance rite, correct any wrongs, whoever it might be with, and we be blessed to partake of the Spirit that Christ, your ordained, should be taken before partaking of communion. We thank you for the opportunity to be frank with one another with your help, and that it doesn't require the foot washing for us to get right with brothers and sisters, but that this rite helps us recognize our extreme need of Christ's righteousness to be wearing and of Christian service. Thank you for showing us a brighter day, each extended day that you give to our life, and the opportunity to become near, to get nearer to you. We pray it's not in vain, and that you'll accept our humble service that we partake of now, as we put our heart into it by faith, believing in divinity to unite with us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, well, we will see one another soon in about 15 minutes. God bless.
I must hear you dream, as I must pray in truth. I can tell you what I want. Do not be changed, for I am going to where the fountains are at the fall. I love you, and I must praise you. I can tell you what I want. As the sea sees, to which I turn me, my redeemer is his heart. There is no sorrow, nor any sorrow, nor any tears, nor any crying. I love you, and I must wait now. I can tell you my heart. Farewell, dear, I seem so far extended. In immortal beauty, so young we are men. He who has borne with will soon be starving. And then my friend could summon more. I love you, and I must praise now. I can tell you, what a glorious sight appears to our believing eyes. The earth and seas are cast away, and deep of glowing stars, and deep of glowing stars, and deep of glowing stars. The earth and seas are cast away, and deep of glowing stars. Oh, that will be
Thank you, dear brother. Oh, that is so much better that you can all hear the music coming across loud and clear and wonderful music. Powerful. Yeah, praise the Lord. There's so many things that can go wrong, things that you don't even think of, and God knows all about it. Our reliance upon Him is the best insurance and assurance we have. Unfailing. So is everyone finished with foot washing? Is everyone ready to continue? I mean, I should say, is anyone still going? Does anyone need any more time? It's looking all good. All right. All right. Green light. Let's go further. Thank you, bro. Powerful. Well, let's look at the next, point number six. What began as a Passover ritual commemorating the Exodus from Egypt and the establishment of the covenant testament at Sinai in Exodus 24 became the celebration of a new Exodus, this time from sin, and the establishment of a new covenant testament to be sealed with Jesus' own blood. Of course, God taught to separate from sin in the Old Testament, absolutely. And the law written on the heart and on the mind instead of doing it in your own strength, which is impossible to keep the law of love. Going to point number 7, Christ's command, this do in remembrance of me, Luke chapter 22, verse 19, sums up the primary meaning of the Lord's Supper. It is first and foremost a memorial rite, not of all that Christ said and did, but more specifically of his redemptive death. As the Jewish Passover was a look backward, a reminder of God's mighty act in which he delivered Israel from the Egyptian bondage, Exodus 12, verse 14, chapter 13, verses 3, 8, and 9, and Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3. So the Lord's Supper, in which Christians partake of the unleavened bread and the unfermented wine grape juice, commemorates the decisive events that Christ effected at Calvary, the new Exodus, Luke chapter 9, verse 31, and his triumph over sin and death. We look at point number 8. The Lord's Supper also sets forth a present truth. We have past truth and a present truth. Those who gather at the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, to eat the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20, express visibly their present union with one another because of their union with the head of the church, Christ himself. For we, being many, are one bread. For we are all partakers of that one bread, Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 and 16. At the foundation of this ongoing relationship between God and his people is a covenant testament, a new covenant testament stressed in each of the accounts of the ordinance in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, Mark chapter 14 verse 24, Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, and to add to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 25 by Paul. We look at point number 9. As a memorial of the past and a reminder of the present as instituted by Christ, the Lord's Supper is also a forward look, a look to the Lord's second coming. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Matthew 26, 29. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Mark 14 verse 25, also Luke 22 verses 16 and 18. The delicious, sweet grape juice Christ will not drink again until in the kingdom of God with the saved. One of the many promises and assurances that the kingdom of God is real, just like the sweetness of grape juice, and when inaugurated, he will drink it again with the saved. What a feast none of us want to miss. Think of Revelation 19. We go to point number 10. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death, or show the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. As the Jews in celebrating the Passover not only looked back to their deliverance from bondage, but to a new deliverance by the Messiah they longed for, so the Christian fellowship at the Lord's table is a proclamation that the one who did come and is present among us now has promised to come again. spiritual riches. Point number 11. I thought I'd put this quote in here just to some, there's so many different quotes of this nature in the spirit of prophecy. And the question's put forward. How much was Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit, willing to do for us? This is a quote from Volume 5, Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, page 1129, Ellen G. White's pen. She says, though Christ humbled himself to become man, the Godhead, deity, was still his own. His deity could not be lost while he stood faithful and true to his loyalty. We all say infinite love, one that's one with the Father and the Holy Spirit from eternity, is actually willing to lose, potentially to fail in their in his task with the plan of redemption. But thank God this is not the case. He did not fail. But you could see the significance. Deity would have been lost. That means Christ would have been lost. That would be terrible. Thank God this is not the case. Really puts it in perspective, doesn't it? The gift, something of the gift that is in Jesus. All of heaven, the Spirit of Prophecy says, was given in that one gift. Well, we have reached. I love how I let myself know what we've reached. Please have unleavened bread ready to break and eat. So if you could do that, and we're going to have, we're going to quote, we're going to look at a Bible reference, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll partake of it. So if you could get ready, if you're not already ready, I'll be right back. Yeah, amazing grace, amazing love. Amen. So, to quote the well-known quote, something not to be lost sight of, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. Paul says, under inspiration, all writes as well, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's have a word of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege that this symbolic service represents. For getting to know your son Jesus and thereby to getting to know you. And this all by the help, the comfort, the truth of the Holy Spirit's literal being, infinite in power, to help us behold Jesus, to behold you by faith, and to have the Spirit controlling our lives instead of our own spirit selfishly controlling our lives. Thank you for showing us our darkness and giving us a heart to recognize we can be self-deceived if we so wish, but it's so not worth it. Thank you for forgiving all manner of sin, Jesus, and blasphemy against yourself. And for Holy Spirit, you revealing to us more of who Jesus is. I mean, we read precious books like The Desire of Ages and the Gospels regularly, perhaps, the spirit of prophecy regularly, the desire of ages, particularly the Gospels, and we see there, it's like a new book every time we open it. I pray it's not because we don't remember, retain what we've learned, but it's only increasing our understanding of what's been, and we're having present truth constantly shining forth on us, preparing us for glory. First, the character of God, and of course, the glory of the kingdom that can accept the characters that are like his precious son, Jesus. Thank you for not withholding anything from us, Father. We did not ask for it, but what will we do without it? I pray we will learn more of Jesus so we can experience more of that self-sacrificing love. As Napoleon Bonaparte once said, you know, I don't have the power that this man had. People are willing to die for him without a sword, without being forced. They willingly do it. They lovingly do it. We seek your blessing on partaking now and taking our minds back in imagination to what act of atonement was fulfilled before the ministration of what that atonement on the cross is doing for us now, the benefits that it's providing for us each. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. And so now, if you'd like, let's break and partake. Amen and amen. So, praise the Lord. So we've reached the unfermenting grape juice part of our service, communion. And perhaps I'll let you get that if you don't already have it. I'll give you a minute. Does anyone not have it ready to drink? Okay. Well, continuing, same chapter, the verse after where we left off. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11:25-26. Let's have a word of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for providing for us abundantly and being more willing to give than we are to receive. I pray we would get more in the habit by the grace of God to want to receive more from you, to give, showing your character more and more unto those who have perhaps distorted views of it, perhaps no view of it, and any and every other distraction that the enemy of God and man has created in the minds of human beings. thank you, Jesus, for being so willing to go to the cross for us, for saying not my will but thine be done, for showing us that our human weaknesses is God's opportunity for divinity to make us whole, to make us complete, to make us victors, to live above sin, to live in pure, true service to God from the heart and the mind, and relying all the while on the word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing back to us our experiences in the Christian walk since we were first baptized and perhaps rebaptized. Maybe it's years, even decades to some of us. Thank you for making it a living reality by the growth process. We pray that we don't stunt or stint it in our growth because of a lack of care and concern and appreciation. It's seasons like this that opens the opportunity to coming closer to you and one another. We thank you for especially being close to each and every one of us on these occasions. And for others to know and understand that you'll never force, the gift of God is never forced on anyone, but it's only a benefit when someone receives it and acts on it and does with it what the sender intended to be done with it. Thank you for providing salvation free and full. Help us be self-sacrificing and look at it as a true sacrificing is not so much how much we gave, but what's left. Not so much what we did, but the spirit in which it was done and why it was done. And thank you for doing this. Bless our brethren and sisters meeting in the name of the Lord this high Sabbath day for another one of these precious times to get to know your will for our lives better and to be in a prayerful spirit on behalf of your church and individuals that make up your church and your will for them. We all have blessed gifts and we thank you for it and ask that you'll help us not be afraid to use them to God's glory, but be self-distrustful. Bless us now as we partake further, and thank you for giving us a voice in heaven through Jesus. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and now let's partake of the unfermented wine or grape juice. Amen and amen. And as the disciples with Jesus, they went away singing a hymn. I was sharing with Lucy, oh, I'd like to sing this song, Lucy, but I don't know how many would know it. So I said, we'll keep that for later. But we've got a well-known song all prepared, and Brother Bob's going to put it on for us. And of course, any requests thereafter, but why don't we finish off with that well-known song? And it'll be good to hear you all sing. Well, that looks beautiful, bro. I love the background. Wow. Would you like to start them, Liz? You going to sing with me?
Yeah.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims. Be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Echo with hilltops proclaim it be plain. Jesus is coming again. Come in and glory the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Heavings of earth tell of vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Nations are angry. By this we do know Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases. Men run to and fro. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again, Jesus is coming again.
Amen and amen. Oh, I wish there were more verses, Lord. We'll just have to request more songs, don't we, to hear it all again. Oh, I liked your stress, Brother Dick. I'm angry. The anger we don't want. Be angry and sin not. Impressive. Well, that is the end of the foot washing and communion service. And now we open it up to any testimonies, any requests, song requests, prayer requests, praises anyone wants to share. So good to see you all. Sorry, I've missed you all for 2 weeks. Last week I was at Geraldton and we couldn't get any internet. And then I found out they actually had a free service available. Well, they don't tell you that when you get there. And that worked. So it's good to be here. So 2 weeks later. But is there, go right ahead. The floor's all.
I praise the Lord that we still have the freedom to meet together from various parts of the world and have this wonderful gathering.
Good evening and good morning. I'd also like to thank you all for your prayers and support that you have always based out to us and more so Africa that we are able to press on. And more so when you've been going through a very tedious situation of sending away our dear grandmom whom we willfully or person, and we celebrated her 89 years of existence. And we say, praise the Lord that you gave any prayers on our behalf. You supported us in all ways, and you are still continuing to support us. Thank you so much for the Lord to unite us in this way that we can encourage one another, pray for one another, and that we may continue in that same wise until Christ will come take us home. I say thank you very big. May his name be praised always. Amen.
Amen and amen.
I just want to say that I'm amazed and it's been reinforced today. I'm absolutely flabbergasted, to use a good old-fashioned word, how so many denominations just ignore foot washing when it's laid out so plainly and so clearly that it's just as important as the communion service. I just don't know how they can be so blind. I never knew anything about it until I met my dear brother James, who brought me along to join the online family. I visited many denominations because my work life took me to some very isolated communities where there was only one church available. And yet I've never met it until a few years ago now, but very recently in my long life. And I praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you can see the devil's hands in that issue of cutting out foot washing. Because if you're not humble in heart, if you're not self-crucified, and you try to partake of the Lord's Supper, you're not going to be in the right frame of mind. Thus, you're not going to receive the blessing that God has in store. And you might even have sickness come upon you and perhaps even death because you were not in a worthy state to participate. So the devil comes in and says, well, you don't need to crucify self. You can go in whatever spirit you were in beforehand and gain all the blessings. And of course, that's not going to take place.
Well, I'm thankful for God's protection. I made a fast trip to MENA this week and back in one day and got my computer work done. And we've been rushing around here trying to get things ready for the eclipse, I guess. You know that we're having one over here. And I heard tell on the radio, on the computer news, that over 1 million people will visit our state this weekend of the eclipse. And David went shopping today and found the grocery store was kind of scarce on fresh stuff that he wanted. Maybe they're buying it all up. Who knows? Anyway, we have all of our little cabins here rented out this weekend or this for this week eclipse. And people even camping here on the property, they want to see that eclipse. Somehow it means something special to them. And who knows, it may be a sign from God that he's about to do something. As one person said, we never know about these things until after they've happened. Well, that may be right. But anyway, I'll tell you one interesting thing. There was an eclipse in, I think, 2017. Started at Oregon, went out at South Carolina. And somebody noticed that eclipse, there were seven Salems in the path of that eclipse. Salem, that's short for Jerusalem. And they are noticing that this eclipse of 24 is going to cross seven Ninevehs. And that's supposed to be something, something special, like judgment. I guess we'll know as it happens. But anyway, God is good to us. No broken bones around here. Nobody got their eyes poked out. And we're praising the Lord for good weather. We hope it lasts.
That's pretty amazing, dear brother, to have your computer taken to a guy and have it worked on and get it back the same day. That's that's quite amazing.
Let's see, that's a 320-mile round trip. But I made it, got home. I left. I couldn't sleep for some reason. Let's see. Oh, the buzzer went off announcing some catastrophe in the community, or the fire department or the paramedics had a call. No, it wasn't either. It was that radio that announces those kind of things that started beeping at 1 o'clock or 1:30. And that awakened me, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I lay there and watched the clock. I have a projection clock, and it was shining on the ceiling, and I watched that thing for 2 hours and said, oh, man, why waste my time? So I got up at 4:30 and drove to Mena. Consequently, I got back at 2 o'clock and just in time for dinner. And as I go, I pray the Lord will keep the deer off the road. It seems like everybody up on the mountain here has at least run into a deer one time, and that does terrible things to your cars. And I pray the Lord keeps his deer out in the woods eating something while I'm going by. And he does. Let's put it that way.
God bless Sister Yee and family. Glad you can join us. Can you all hear me okay? It says your internet connection is unstable. Yes, you can. Wow, that's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Hey, Brother Dick, oh, we always love an appearance. That's the way. With springs, witty Dick. Fantastic. Good to hear. No broken bones. Praise the Lord. That's great. No broken teeth. I've heard someone say, you know, we come out of mama bald and without teeth, and we go back to the grave with the same, you know. It was funny because not everyone does, but you got his point. But in the land thereafter, in the hereafter, when the time comes when Christ does come back, the real Christ, these things will be not even thought of. Self would have been is prepared, it's conquered entirely, and Christ can take us home to be with him. I want to briefly share with you, I've contacted a pastor who's local. I've shared him before. Pastor John Teal, I said, hey, I learnt that you're not far away from me. Well, in a car. I heard you're not far away from me. I've got to go past your area to get to traffic control. And he's responded that, you know, within an instant, and he said he'd be happy to meet up. He's a bit busy. They just had a camp meeting. And so I'm waiting for that response. I mean, when we can catch up. So I went... Oh, before I went to the Geraldton trip, I just wanted to share, I met up with my sister because her daughter's birthday, 7th birthday, was a few weeks before it. And so I was there, and I prayed that I could talk to her friends because I knew her two friends were Christians. And my sister strongly believes that Mum was looking down from heaven. She even did that when the child was blowing out the candles. And she's teaching the child. And I knew that the Christians believed that as well. And I thought, oh, what a shame. So they weren't there. Because anyway, I got talking to others, and then they did come. They were running late. Maybe it was devil inspired. I don't know. But they came round, and we got talking a little. And we got to talk a little bit, and then we sort of got broken up, and I talked to the husband. The wife's more into things, but the husband's quite a Christian. He said, I don't go to church. So, you know, my wife might say I'm not a Christian. That sort of attitude. And, you know, I was sharing with them all. And Serena, my sister, was listening. And she's just, now and again, she'd laugh. And I said, well, it's times like these I pray for, Serena. I prayed that I might talk to your friends. And I had to talk over everyone because everyone's talking over everyone to get it out. And she's just finding it funny, the things that we're talking about, because the lady turned around and said, are you praying for Jerusalem, James? It says, pray for Jerusalem. And she was not laughing. And I said, oh, it's a shame both sides are killing one another. It says, thou shalt not murder. You know, if they were both Christian, they wouldn't be doing either of it, if they're real Christians. And I said, but do pray for spiritual Israel as well. Oh, you're a replacement theology. I said, no, not at all. I just follow Jesus' words. Your house is left unto you desolate. And I quoted that. I said, well, and I said it slowly, of course, and trying to get the import to sink in. But she didn't have anything to say. I thought she was going to jump to Romans 11, but she perhaps was not thinking or didn't want to go there. But just a number of highlights. I'll just share one of them. We're talking about the plan of redemption. She said, oh, the law, that was for the Jews, you know, the usual. And I said to her, and she's saying this in front of my sister, and I said to her, you know, the moral law just for the Jews, you know, make her look like realize what she's saying. And I said, you can't keep them. I said, no, that's right. But God can in you if you'll let him. And talking briefly, I said, you know, you said something, that her name's Nancy. I said, Nancy, you said something when we first met today. You said, I was saved back in, and she didn't give an exact date, but she took, you know, a lot of Christians talk about that. I don't know what the percentage is. And I said, you know, in a sense, in one sense, you did have that right, because we are saved. That is justified by faith for our sins that are past. Totally. And I said, totally agree. But we're being saved through sanctification of the truth right now. And we will be saved when Christ comes back for his own. And her husband says, Joe, he says, oh, that's just too complicated. So he preferred a short sentence, once saved, always saved, to the, you know, We're being saved, that justified by faith, the sins that are past. We're being saved through sanctification through the truth, and we will be saved, if faithful to the end, through that sanctification process of glorification when Christ comes. Too much. That was just too heavy for Joe. But talking to him, he's the only one that took a tract. And I said, please consider these things. It's very serious. And he shared some of the things he preaches, he's heard, and then I said, but I go to this scripture, that scripture, to help him understand. Well, that's what the preacher said. Now let's see what God says. It should help him understand, of course, the Ten Commandments are not done away. Of course they aren't. It's absolute utter foolishness, nonsense. Why do we need grace? we're saved in our sins. I don't need grace for that. Grace, the God's grace doesn't do that, doesn't save us in our sins. The other thing is, I did end up going to Jericho and keep them in prayer. Their name's Nancy and, Joe and, my sisters. I'm glad, I think both of them might have been listening. I had two sisters there and the kids and, you know, interestingly, Nancy said, everyone preaches at the funeral. They always go to heaven. Now for Nancy, that's probably so, you know, literally she does think they're in heaven looking down. And then, you know, if you were, you know, you didn't make it, you're done for a very, 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 very long time. And, she said that in front of my family. And I thought, I mean, my sister, and I hope they take it to heart, you know, a friend of theirs, you know, has shared that. Now let's see what the truth is about the state of the dead. I've tried to share it with them and I'm thankful for the opportunity. We must have had an hour and a half. I said to Lucy, I was going to have evening worship with you earlier, you know? But once they got talking, I could not go when someone asked a question like that. And then we stayed another hour and a half. But I did go to Geraldton. I did get to do the churches. There was one SCA church. Well, there was two, but the other one, they didn't have anything on. And the SCA church, there was no one. There was one car. I thought, really? Like, why would there only be one? So I had a word of prayer. I got it around. I thought, I'll just do the one car. But there were 29 around the corner. I thought, hallelujah. I've never been there before, of course. No one stopped me, which is good. I think I put is identifying and escaping Laodicea and some other ones. The controversy over Revelation 18 and God's last message of mercy. Mainly the Laodicea one. And that didn't get caught, thankfully, and hopefully no one took it off the cars before everyone came out. And then I got to do the Sunday, but I got distracted. I met this guy who's a Christian. I was leaving the toilet and he heard me talking to someone else. And he said, oh, I'm one of these weird guys who actually believes in the Bible. I said, oh, me too, you know. His name's Stephen and he wants to become a pastor and he has lots of dreams and he said, and he has a lot of interpretations. Now, of course, your red flags go up, beep, beep, beep. And, he suggested you better start getting into it. You know, you really can, do you have them and do you interpret? And I share with him what I do and he wanted to see my car because he thought that was rather amusing. Perhaps he didn't say that, but maybe he did think it was amusing. Offered him books. He didn't take any, but did give him a tract, two tracts. He said, I've got to prepare a sermon and I don't even know what to preach. And I don't even have the fundamental beliefs that I should be sharing to start the sermon series. I said, well, you know, Stephen, can I give you a tract? And I gave him and God spoke these words. I said, so what it does, it's the foundation of God's government, right? You can't have a government without law. And I said, so it gives you God's law of love. On one side, and the reasons for it, and then on the back side, it shows how man changed what God said. Oh, yeah, I like that. I hope he uses it. And shares it. And, but he kept me back. I couldn't, I felt like I couldn't leave him. Like, I thought, oh, no, come on, time's ticking. Like, you know, Sunday churches, I had, like, 20 to do. Plenty to do. You know, I had ones that weren't answered. Answering the phone when I was preparing to, you know, where when I started and that, and I thought I have to keep talking. I might never meet him again. He was leaving the next morning, and but we had a good talk. He shared a little bit of his history. We used to work for Seventh-day Adventists over in the east. He's a bus driver for the college. I thought, wow, that's interesting. And but I did get to the churches. Some of them were already coming out, so I was running late, so I only could do a bit. And then others were running late, and so they were still in church, which was great. And the last church was the church he was going to, Potter's House. And he told me that, and I thought to myself, I haven't even seen that on my list. Oh, there it was, Potter's House, big sign. So I got to do that. No one was out there. No one was out and about in the car park because it was slightly late. I expected at least, you know, a couple of people looking at me, but no one was there. And then, of course, as I get the last car done and I start walking away, that was a good distance, nearly at my car, well, nearly out of the complex. Someone comes out and says, hey, what are you doing? Why? And I just clicked on to why. I said, I'm sorry, did you say why? He said, yeah. He's a big guy. Reuben was his name. And I said, well, I'm offering free literature multimedia. I have over 100 subtitles given for free in hard copy and digital copy format and also audios. He said, well, you know, you gotta let us know about this and that. And I said, have you ever had anyone do this before? He said, no, I haven't. Anyway, he insisted take them off the cars. And I said, oh, Reuben. He said, well, if you don't, I'll just get the ushers. And he starts walking away and I start following because he took one of the tracks off the car. And I asked him, is that your car? He said, no, it's not. I was just looking at it to show you what you put on the cars. And so as he's walking back, I thought, well, I don't really want to take them off the cars. So I put that track back on the car, not that he could see that because he'd already gone in, but I got word that he did get the ushers to take them off. I hope they didn't chuck it in the bin. And if they did, hopefully the second hat, well, the people that sort through the recyclables gets a blessing out of it. But, yeah, that was the brief story out of Geraldton visit. I did get to spend time with Mr. Norman. You remember Norman? Who, as he puts it, the father and son message. That's code for I'm an Aryan and also a Trinitarian in one. We got to share some interesting things together, and I'm so glad I got to pray, and he showed me a little bit around Geraldton, got to meet his, where he lives as well. He babysits as well, house sits. And, I hope he doesn't forget it. I hope he realizes that we will go through Spirit of Prophecy, and the poor guy, he doesn't even have the Alan G. White CD-ROM on his computer. So, well, you don't have to get that. You can go to alangwhitewritings.org. You get it for free, but you have to have the internet. I said, but get the CD-ROM. It's so cheap. You know, it's so easy to put it on. He still has the CD fixture in his, computer, but I shared with him, you know, you say the Holy Spirit isn't a person, right? And all of a sudden the scripture, we weren't even looking for it, but it said more than once, of course. Ellen White says the Holy Spirit is a person. He has a personality. So can you see that? Can you see what we just read? And it was like he couldn't believe it. And I said, you know what he said? Because I knew he wouldn't just say nothing. He said, oh, that's a compilation, but he was on it. And I said, yeah, you're right, Norm, it is a compilation. Is that code for it's not really in the original where they got it from? Because there's a lot of compilations in her books. Do you know that comes from this place, that place? And of course she verifies it. But if you're talking about posthumously, yeah, that's true. This one is a compilation. Well, why don't we go to the original? So we went to the original manuscript, such and such. I said, see, just like it is used in the compilation. So I said, don't let people, when they say compilation, think that it's not actually in the original, but they're just making it up in their head, right? You want the context, but can you see the context? And I think he was a little bit intrigued. I shared with him, you know, your belief is not a new one. And of course he could have said, well, of course it's not, it's biblical. I said, no, it's Aryan. Your belief that Jesus had a beginning and the Holy Spirit is a force. It's Aryan. But I said, but you've actually got a lot in common with Trinitarians. Because when you hear how Trinitarians explain Trinity and Aryans explain Arianism, you find that they've got a lot in common. And I said, and you're both of those. That was a bit nasty, eh, Brother James? But it wasn't that, because he understood the spirit I was saying. I said, I want us to work together, but we cannot present to the world Christ our righteousness and righteousness of Christ by faith if you've got a wrong understanding about the Godhead. You've got a misunderstanding about all the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus, which Colossians 1 and 2 bring out, we're not going to be able to do it. We're not going to do it united, at least. And I said, no, I don't want that to happen, no. You know, knowing full well, I'm probably never going to visit Geraldton again. It's like 450 km away from where I live. And, you know, he eventually gave me a book that he really longed for me to read. And he looked at a little bit of it while we were driving. He was reading it to me, you know, basically on the same subject. But we did keep in touch on different points and to help him understand, that he'd never even heard of Aryans. And I said, you know, you quote pioneers. I said, you know, the majority of them were Trinitarians. You look at me strange. Cause I asked him, I said, were most of them like you, Norm? Oh yeah. I said, are you sure? Like, let's think about it. I came from a Methodist background, a Baptist background, Presbyterian background, Congregationalist background. Oh, I could go. Most of them were Trinitarians. Now, you might think they had a, you know, conversion at 1844 and beyond, but records show that they were Trinitarians. there were some, like Uriah Smith, that were not. That is true. And they happened to be quite influential, like E.J. Wagner's father, J.H. Wagner, as well, who was anti-Trinitarian. And I said, but that's good you're anti-Trinitarian. But Ellen White wasn't Trinitarian. And I said, that's why I'm saying that. But he said, oh, but she said the Trinitarian belief's going to come in before, and she warned us. I said, brother, have you even looked at Ellen G. White's CD-ROM? She never mentions the word Trinity. There's once it was mentioned. I said, but that is a compilation. That's a title put in there. So she didn't put it there because it came up. And I thought, yeah, go figure. But it was a compilation and the title was there. I said, but she never uses the word Trinity, Trinity. You just, it's not there. I said, so she, whatever, whoever told you that, I don't know where the source is, but it's not there. It's not in the published and unpublished. I said, but she did quote the Godhead over 200 times. Why? Because it's biblical. That's what I've got to share with him, the meaning of Godhead. And he seems to be, want to be on the same side, but at the same time, there's just, I think there's too much at stake for him, from his mind, because he supports someone in Malawi and probably teaching and preaching the same thing as Norm put it, or the message of the Father and the Son. And, you know, as I said, that's code for the denial of Christ's divinity and the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Holy Spirit's just a force. I said, really? Can a force convict you of sin? Can you grieve a force? Really? And he was getting confused because he knew, obviously, that was stupid. That was foolish. And he said, oh, it's the Father and the Son. I said, no, no, no. Christ said you can blaspheme. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's it. That's it. Salvation's over for you. I said, but you can blaspheme and be forgiven if you wanted to be, if you did it toward the Son. So clearly it's not the Son and the Father. And so Trinity, yeah, interesting note in the room. So I'm so thankful. I know that your prayers have been answered. I always wanted to reach out to Norm Moore. I said, it's really nice to spend time with you, Norm, because I don't think we've ever got this opportunity, because where we've met, we were giving out literature. We hardly had a chance to talk. We talked over the phone and prayed over the phone. That's true. And we shared a bit, but being with you, I think it makes a difference. It makes it, you know, closer, you get to know one another more, and I'm hoping that he might realize the difference, because he was fascinated at the Arianism. I said, you know, even Uriah Smith, he started to get away from Arianism, but he was still semi-Arian before he died. So he died a semi-Arian. Do I think he's lost? No, according to the light that he has. He had a lot of light. He just wasn't grasping it entirely. And so I said, but you know, we're over 100 years, 150 years removed, you know, almost. I said, it's our privilege to not repeat any mistakes others have. And the pioneers, they didn't have everything right. It's according to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. It's not, you know, the pioneers included. Godly men that they were, and women. I do ask you, I want to share one quick tidbit with Brother Stephen, the one that's going to become a pastor. He was told in a dream he's going to become a pastor. And, of course, when I came back after Sunday, I thought I'll just go around a little bit in Geraldton and then I'll head back, because it was his last day there. And, of course, I go for a walk in the afternoon, and he told me where he was. And lo and behold, I see him reading something. And I almost didn't, well, I thought I'd still say hi. So I walk around his vicinity and I come back and I say hello. And he was reading the tract that I gave him, and I almost gulped, like, I wish I hadn't have interrupted. And I said, you know, it's very rare you get to see someone actually read something you give them. Maybe you see them chuck it in the bin, etc. But really, you see it, and God's allowed me to see this. And I said, please read through it, and please read the Great Controversy. And we talked a bit, and one of the things he said, like, get this, I wonder if you've ever had someone say this to you. So he's telling me how important dreams are and interpretation, and I said to him, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit and not the devil? And you know what he thought a little bit. I don't know if he had this pre-prepared, prepared in the past and he's used it, but he said to me, oh, the devil doesn't use colour. That's right. The devil doesn't use colour. So the devil's, you know, in the 1940s, you know, for TV, you know. And, yeah, I didn't laugh, but yeah, it's kind of, you know, wow. Yeah. And I said to him, he said he doesn't use light. I said, but hang on. Paul warns us that he comes as an angel of light. And when he came to Christ in the wilderness, he didn't present himself as a dark angel. He presented himself as an unfallen angel. And he said, no. I said, but he can mimic light. He must be able to, because look at the snakes. He copied Moses, but he couldn't create. That's true, but they sure look like snakes, and they got eaten up. Yeah, so he lost. But the point being, he can definitely do certain things that you and I aren't aware of, and there's certain limits that he's got. That's true, but he said he presents himself as an angel of light. You know that text. And he said, yeah, but no, he doesn't present it in color. That's how he knows. Now, he's not laughing, right? He's not smirking. And I said to him, can you show me from the Bible where it says that? And he thought. And he said, no, I can't. And I said, thank you for being frank about like that. You didn't have to. I mean, I appreciate you being honest. None of us can find it in there, right? It's not there. I don't think I stressed that, but I wanted him to say it, to realize, like, because I said to him, you know, there is a rule in the Bible to tell if you're reading the scriptures aright or not. Do you know what it is? And he started, this is something that happened at my sister's with Nancy and Joe. I said, do you know what the definition of sin is? At my Serena's, but it was very similar to what I said to Stephen. I said, you know, do you know what the rule is? And, he didn't know, and I said, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this verse, because there's no light. And I talk about the Ten Commandments and the 66 books of the Bible. It has to agree with that. Whatever you're getting revealed to, it has to meet the standard. And he said, you need the Spirit. I said, yes, most people would say that. So we're talking like this, and that's what he said. And I said, we did have a word of prayer with one another. Again, Luce and I had to put off our evening worship for a little later. And I thank you for your patience, Luce. But that was something he shared. And I said, we will keep you in prayer. And our church group will keep you in prayer. Mr. Stephen, Brother Stephen. It is kind of fun. I want to finish off with this. In front of Nancy and Joe, I said to him, do you know what the definition of sin is? And Nancy says, oh, it's disobedience. I said, yes, that's true. But do you know particularly what the definition of sin is? Oh, it's being in darkness. And even my sister started joining in. Oh, it's doing wrong. I said, no, that's true. And that's to a point particular, but what is wrong? What is sin? And I said, and just before you, because Joe got involved too, he said something. I said, and before you answer this, every time I've gone door knocking in the past, all the things you're saying now, Christians and non-Christians have said. Now, go ahead. I'm just putting that out to you. You know, in other words, you haven't got it yet, but, you know, they're good answers generally, but the particular. And eventually, I guess they didn't know. Where's he going? I mean, one scripture I was just asking for. So I said, it's 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And what law would that be? That would be the moral law of 10 commandments, all of them, including the fourth. And they did not, well, maybe they never heard anyone share it quite like that, but they heard it. And I'm glad, because my sister got to hear it, to realize that if we don't know what sin is, why in the world do you think you need a savior? I'm all right. I'm the judge. You know, I pass the judgment. Self-satisfaction, you know, self-justification. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for making it possible to get to have the opportunity to have. I said to Lucy, I wish I could cancel this Geraldton trip because I want to work on the book that I you know, give me a lot of time to work on. And then I said, you know, when I got to Geraldton, and I said, Lord, may this contribute to better work when I come back to the normal everyday things. And Lord willing, he will do this more and more as we go forward. There is a question I want to ask you all. I've had this question given me before, not quite like this, but there are some people that request CDs and DVDs. They don't offer to pay postage and that, but especially where those offers, I mean, those requests come from. And I've just asked, do you have CD players? Do you have DVD players to play them? That, you know, because they're going out of fashion, right? They're definitely out of fashion here. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe I could just send it all over to them. You know, I've got like a box full of that. But what do you all think about that? I mean, in the US, for instance, do many people still use a DVD player, a CD player, MP3 player?
We use the DVD players to play our Bible movies and other things like that, and to listen to music in the car and things like that. So yes, over here they still have them.
And there is another different way, dear brother, too, as it is true that they do have them, the CD and DVD players. Yet I don't know if you are familiar with ISO images to be able to get the information out as an ISO image. Then that can just be downloaded as a complete DVD or CD that a person can play on their computer if they need to, or laptop, or things like that, without having to have the physical disc. And it's just a thought, but yeah, that, as Sister Michelle was saying, yeah, they do have the DVDs and CDs. It was just a thought I thought I'd share.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, I'm like you, Michelle. I have it in the car and I've got the DVD player. Thank you, Brother Joel. Yes, I do have that available on the website. That's why I was thinking of sending it to people who don't have access to the internet, because they can download it, they can keep it on their phone, their computer and whatever other device, and they can do the same with the can they do the same with the video? I don't know if I've set it up. I think I'll have to look at that. But essentially, if you've got the internet, you can do just about everything. Yeah, that's why I was thinking, for those who don't, because unfortunately over half the population on the earth, or about half, don't have access to it, that it might be useful. But of course, only if they've got a CD player or a DVD player, which perhaps because of the circumstances they might not have.
My experience with getting letters from Africa asking for CDs and DVDs, even cassette tapes, although those aren't quite as common, is they also want you to send the CD player and the DVD player and and the cassette player along with it. The items.
Yeah, that will cost a fortune. Fortune 500. Oh, that's interesting, bro. I haven't had anyone ask that. Maybe that's coming up. Maybe for me soon. Yeah. Well, I want to share with you this song I was going to sing earlier, but I thought maybe none of you have heard it. And what I was impressed with is, because Lucy, when I had my birthday a little while ago, She said something similar to this on my card, and it made me think of a long time song by a long ago song I'd heard, and it was by the Mazaks, Brother Bob, you know, over in the East. They, I think it's the husband, he introduced it to me, and I thought, wow. And he said, just don't mind the drum beat, James. They get a bit carried away, and you know, but the words are good. And I slightly changed the words because it, slightly just now and again. But it made me think of this, and I said, oh, I could do this for foot washing and communion. But does anyone know the song out of curiosity? Yeah, it's always easier when you can hear it for the first time if you have heard of it. Well, this is how it goes. Everybody needs a little help sometime. No one stands alone. Makes no difference if you're just a child like me or a king upon a throne. For there are no exceptions. We all stand in the line. Everybody needs a friend. Let me tell you of mine. He's my forever friend, my leave me never friend. From darkest night to rainbow's end, he's my forever friend. Even when I turned away, he has mercied me. His love no one can shake. Even as I've walked away, he's wooed me back with every breath I take. And sometimes I have forgotten him. My light fails to shine. Sometimes I've not been his friend, but he has always wanted to be mine. He's my forever friend, my leave me never friend. From darkest night to rainbow's end, he's my forever friend. If you still don't know the one I'm talking of, I think it's time you knew. Long ago and far away upon a cross, my friend died for you. And so if you'd like to meet him, and don't know what to do, ask my friend into your heart, and he'll be your friend too. He's my forever friend, my leave me never friend. From darkest night to rainbow's end, he's my forever friend. He's my forever friend. Hey. Very moving song. Hope we get to see the Mazaks again. Well, is there anything that's on brothers and sisters' minds before we finish up with a prayer and a song? Is Brother Dick here? Yes. No pressure, Brother Dick. Is there anything else anyone would like to share? Any further songs? Any things that are on your heart and mind? Fisa, please share if you would like.
I will share this, dear brother. It has been many years. Heard your voice and Sister Lucy's voice. Thankful to the living God that I've had a chance to actually see you and see Sister Lucy, because I've never had heard you. And I thank you both for keeping me in prayer, because I believe that it's in my heart to believe that, and I'm going to keep it that way. And this has been a blessing, and I'm very thankful. And I just want to praise God and thank you so much for sharing that last song that you just shared, because it really strikes a chord with me, and I'm thankful. Very thankful. Thank you.
I know, Brother Joel, it's been years. Was that one of the Daniel and Revelation, seminars? You can see I'm thinking ahead. Daniel and Revelation prayer meeting, Wednesday evening, your time. And, I think, yeah, cause I remember sharing evangelistic, in the past. So if I've got the right Joel, I said to Sister Lucy, do you remember Brother Joel? Joel, because we're talking about another Joel. There's a third Joel, whose last name I can't remember. He used to fellowship with us as well. But thank you for that, brother. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it touched a chord with me too. When you read it, like in your card, and then remembering the Mazaks. Oh, I hope they join us again some way. I know they're, I think they went back to their church. But go back to Jesus. Come back. Amen. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. Well, let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Before we get Brother Dick to sing us away on this holy day. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for making it an eventful time with one another. You know that I wish we had so much more time, and I think it's wonderful to think that eternity is going to be so much full of social interaction. Thank you for making this possible, so we don't, you know, we might be thousands of kilometers away, that we will be so close to one another as if the distance doesn't matter, but the Holy Spirit in us does, that the Holy Spirit is not far from us at all, and that we're not losing sight of Jesus like Mary and Joseph literally did for one day, and it took them 3 days to find him again. That we would continually be reforming and reviving, and that we won't get in the habit of limiting what you can do for us, nor be presumptuous in what your word does not say you will do for us. You'll do everything good and for the salvation of others, including ourselves. And we ask that the influence of dear Brother Joel's grandmother, who died recently, 89, that the truth about your goodness and love is not lost on any of them that attended the funeral, the memorial, and that those who are suffering this great loss, of knowing someone perhaps almost all her life for that matter, is no longer, but the hope of the resurrection is bright. It's not going to die. It's going to be fulfilled soon. Thank you that this is based on evidence, miraculous included. Thank you for showing us that you're the God of nature. You're not nature. You're the God of nature and nature's laws. You know everything. It's we who don't. We are the creatures, not the creator. Jesus is the savior, and we are the ones in need of being saved. Thank you for precious different opportunities that we each have before us, and upholding, you know, if it's unusual events, Brother Dick was just sharing, is taking place where something of an unusual character, perhaps of an evangelistic nature or something else, that we would each have eyes to see and recognize what you would have us do amidst all the other things we're already engaged in, to do it in your way, your timing, just as we seek by the grace of God to keep the day of God, your way, your day, in the right spirit. Bless our brothers and sisters as they head home, not home, but head to bed and prepare for bed, that the Sabbath will only become a greater blessing as it grows older, this new Sabbath that we're on, and also that we ask for your power to sustain us in what you have shown us, what we have experienced, to reach new heights, and to bring up others with us, and to get to know the friend of friends, the forever friend, the one that can comfort and bless entirely, who doesn't leave a curse behind, and who wants to know us forever, intimately. Thank you for treating us as if we're the only one that existed in the universe, and the opportunity with your help to show that interest in other people in reflecting that character of Christ, which is fulfilling part of the last message of mercy. Fear God, reverence God, and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come. Please help us, Savior, not lose sight of projects you put on our heart, whether they're big ones or small ones, little errands or big ones. Help us when we realize difficulties and challenges and limitations of time, etc. Remember that you're above time, space, dimension, and that you will help us as we don't put obstructions or knowingly sin and cherish it in the heart, but rather give it up, give it all up, so that we can be fulfilling and receiving the promise of 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin, if we walk in the light. Thank you that we don't walk it alone, but by divine grace and by our forever friend. Thank you for the representative of that forever friend, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, brethren and sisters, the time has come that we have to go. But Lord willing, you will all meet one another tomorrow, and even more of you all. And next week, we'll get to catch up again. I didn't see Sister Lynn and Dot. I hope they're okay. Until next time, God be with you till we meet again. And keep looking up. To God be the glory. Hopefully I haven't put Brother Dick to sleep.
Poor Dickie, he's just sleepy, maybe. Would someone else like to read? I like your arm, Brother Bob. Would someone else like to sing Keep Looking Up?
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.